There's a lot of challenges, and one of the things that we were asked to do by Congress in the 2006 Act was to take a look at the Postal Service's business model. And one of the things that was is actually envisioned as a five-year study, looking at what had happened in the 5 years after the Act passed. But given the challenges and the declines in mail, we were asked to accelerate that. So we actually came out with a report a year and a half before it was due.
What's amazing about this report, not just the speed and efficiency of it, but the very first sentence on the report is the business model is not viable because of their inability to reduce costs.
Yes, that's a bottom line. And one of the things that's interesting about this is the Postal Service had a similar report that it issued about a month ago. And our conclusions are roughly similar in that. You have to, if you look at the demand for mail and the projected demand for mail over the next 10 years, you come up, it's hard to escape the conclusion that something really fundamental hasn't changed in terms of the demand and the projected demand, and then what's needed to support that in terms of an infrastructure.
And one of the facts that you have in the report are just almost chilling if you work at the Postal Service, because the amount of reduction in the mail volume itself, the amount of deficit that they face, all just they're really staggering numbers.
Yeah, well, there's that, and you know, there's a couple interesting tables in there, and there are two that I find interesting. One is the percentage of household bill payments made by mail and electronically, and we just have numbers from 2000 through 2008. But the number of people paying by mail in 2000 was 79%. In 2008, which again, this is two-year-old data now, was 56%. So the number of people paying electronically was up to close to 40%, just in that eight-year span. Broadband use is now nearly, in 2009, nearly two-thirds of the American households. So all that has real implications for the mail industry.
And postal officials always talk about their requirement, and I believe they're the only ones in the entire government, but they have requirements regarding retiree health benefits that are unique to the Postal Service, different than everybody else, and they say that this puts a real burden on them.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. One of the things about the Postal Service, it does have a pre-funding requirement that was established in the 2006 Act, and one of the things that was done, though, and there was some what I would like to, you know, maybe you could call found money, in the sense that there was some analysis done. It became obvious that the Postal Service had some money that was available that had been using for some other things. They were able to pay down debt, but then given the size of the obligation for retiree health care, they were asked to do some pre-funding. The levels of that are pretty aggressive. So, for example, this fiscal year, the total payment envisioned at the law is $7.8 billion. But the numbers of people that rely on the benefit are about 460,000 right now, and there's another 300,000 expected to draw that benefit in the next 10 years.
But nobody wants to see the Postal Service dissolve. Nobody wants them to go away, whether it's for sentimental reasons or because we still see it as a viable utility. Mm-hmm. How do we ensure that the Postal Service does stick around for another couple hundred years?
Well, I think first on your first point, I think the Postal Service still plays an important role in our economy. One of the things that, you know, there's still envisioned to be 150 billion pieces of mail in 10 years. The mail, you know, it's measured in the billions of pieces yet. But I think that one of the things I came away from this study with the conclusion that it's really important to realign what we have in terms of the Postal Service, in terms of facilities, and in terms of retail outlets, and in terms of employees, to this changed changed demand for mail. And this year, mail is going to be at a level where it last was in 1992. Hmm. By 2020, it would be at a level, if the forecast holds, a level that we last saw in the mid-80s. So part of it is really like any business, and the Postal Service was set up to be self-financing, is to put itself in a position where the revenues, and the Postal Service has in the high $60 billion range of revenues now, cover its costs.
Mm. And the Postal Service can't do this itself. As I was reading through this report, and we're even seeing the Postal Service has recommended pulling back on Saturday delivery, and we're seeing even that gets a lot of pushback.
Right. No, in fact, there are a lot of questions about that. The Postal Service suggests that the savings would be in the $3 billion range annually. There's been another analysis that's been done by the Postal Regulatory Commission suggests that maybe a little bit lower, so in the $2 to $3 billion range. That's where those estimates are now.
And one of the things you talked about in this report is if no action is taken, we might see a BRAC sort of system set up for the Postal Service. What did you envision there?
Right. Yeah, this is a matter that we've put out for congressional consideration. And really the thought there is that it's been very difficult for the Postal Service to close processing facilities and also to close retail facilities. And the thought is that a group like that could get together, help establish consensus on what would be needed in terms of reductions in the network, and then put together a plan in terms of a time frame for that, hopefully an aggressive and a quick one, and move out expeditiously. These are tough things to do, and the fact that they have not happened is in part because there's been resistance in communities and to that kind of change.
Well, and one of the other areas where the Postal Service gets resistance is they have a very strong union membership. And right. One of your recommendations, which I'm guessing is going to be a little bit controversial, is that it require that any binding arbitration resulting from collective bargaining would actually take into account the financial status of the Postal Service. So that be part of the
right.
thinking here.
Right. That's one of the areas that we included as a matter for Congress to consider. Then the thinking there, again, goes back to the principle that the Postal Service is to be self-financing. So if as has happened in previous cases, this would end up in binding arbitration, the financial condition is taken into consideration. So whatever agreement is reached, it could be one that's fiscally sustainable. You know, the report has a lot of good information, sort of a baseline about kind of the state of where the Postal Service is now. And so for those that are interested in that, I think it's a good reference. And I mean, there are some interesting things in there about, you know, products that don't cover their costs, magazines, periodicals, things like that. And that's sort of a fascinating slide.
But one of the challenges that the Postal Service has that UPS doesn't have, FedEx doesn't have, is they have to deliver everywhere.
6 days a week.
And 6 days a week. I mean, that's a financial burden that nobody isn't in the private sector.
Well, I think it's an excellent point. And the thing I ask people is, I said, what other business comes to your home 6 days a week, regardless of whether they have something to give you or you have something for them to pick up? And I've never heard that, you know, that there is another one. Of course, you know, these are contiguous routes and things like that. But nonetheless, no, there's no other institution does the kind of thing that they do day in, day out.
Has the Postal Service, they always talk about low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. And when I was reading through there, it seemed like most of the low-hanging fruit, they've tried those things. Now we're into where this isn't tinkering. This is fundamentally altering, changing our notion of what the Postal Service is.
Well, I think it's time to, some of the things that, you know, like you say, the easy things maybe have been considered. The other thing is that you're at a point now where you need to have initiatives that are going to either be generating revenue that should be measured in the hundreds of millions, if not the billions, or reductions that will lead to cost savings. Again, for example, if just, you know, equalizing the percentage of the health care benefit that for federal employees that's paid, if that were equalized for Postal Service and regular feds, the data we had suggests about it might be $600 million for the Postal Service. Now, given the financial crisis that they're facing, that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it still is a lot of money.
When we were talking about the Postal Service's sustainability, and you were explaining how it is still very much a part of our economy and a way that we move mail. I mean, we're still talking about billions of pieces of mail. Mm-hmm. Still, I can't help but get past the idea that it is also a very intimate part of our tapestry as Americans, and it is a sentimental thing, and we don't want to see it go away. Am I wrong in that?
No, you're not, Amy. I think that it's an excellent point. In fact, that came up today. One of the members asked about that, and he said, well, is there a social value To the post office than there is. I mean, you know, the other side of, you know, and mentioning the trend in people moving to the internet and paying bills and things like that is there's another side of the digital divide. There are people who don't have access to the internet. There are people who use, you know, rely exclusively on the mail to pay their bills. I think that you have to take, you know, that's something to factor into that. And there is certainly there's an element of just the fact that this has been there. I've been used to it. I don't know whether there was this much difficulty when there used to be mail delivered twice a day.
Yeah. I remember that.
And so, you know, it's at some point a decision was made to change and, you know, I don't have any recollection. I wasn't involved in the work at that time, and so I don't know if it was that difficult to make that kind of change. But anything that happens like this, and I think the other side of it is that because it keeps happening, and there's not no one sends you a check for here's your cost for mail delivery this week. Mm. It's something people take for granted.